The Burt Show.
Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excited and very curious this morning.
Okay.
Okay, this may be the most bizarre. You're 35 years old.
Yes.
And you've never had a sip of alcohol?
That's correct.
Really? Okay.
I'm sorry. I've had a sip of alcohol. I've had one drink, but as far as I can tell, as far as I can recollect, I've never had more than one drink in a 24-hour period.
Okay, now that's not the bizarre thing to me, because a lot of people don't drink. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you've picked this weekend to sort of break your streak, for what reason?
Well, a couple of months ago, I went out with this guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got on the topic of alcohol. He's one of the few people who've actually noticed that I don't have more than one drink, because I've always done a really good job of kind of ordering what everyone else orders and just mm-hmm. dipping on it, but not ordering drink after drink. I just order one. I usually drink about half of it. So we got on the topic, and he said, you know, that's just, it's crazy. You've never been drunk. You've never experienced that feeling. And, you know, we didn't talk about it for that long or anything. It didn't take up the whole date. I'm not seeing him anymore. But I haven't been able to stop thinking about that I've never done that. You know, that it's something I've never experienced.
I hate it when somebody says something like that and they get in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just keep
yeah.
hearing that over and over again.
Oh, by the way, I want to put it out there to the listeners that I'm not on the voice disguiser because I am embarrassed about this. You know, I'm not like proud that I've never had a drink. I'm not embarrassed that I've never mm-hmm. had a drink. I work for a conservative company, so I'm just trying to stay anonymous because of that.
Okay.
But really it's just, you know, it's something I haven't done yet, but I'm going to do it this weekend.
This weekend has no significance other than this guy just got in your head and you've been thinking about it ever since. So you've declared this weekend the weekend of Burt life.
I've gone out one time in 4 months.
I mean, basically, you know, and I got my girlfriend to go with me this weekend, and we're going to take taxis. So I'm, you know, this weekend it works.
Okay.
Monday's not a huge day at work, just in case, you know, I have a
just in case,
hangover.
You know, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what can we...
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm glad that your girlfriend's going with you, because when mm-hmm. you first said it, I thought you meant this guy had said that and then he was giving you a hard time about it and that you were going to be in his care.
No,
with
she
this.
Said she's not seeing him anymore.
Good. Okay.
He's
okay.
just stuck on this that. In this loop on her head.
Gotcha.
In her head.
So she's got herself an inebriation wing person,
okay,
which
perfect.
Is what you need.
Okay. And a taxi. Good.
So
and
you have zero idea about what it's like to be buzzed or what to expect the next day. I mean, this is a whole
wow.
foreign world for you.
Right.
When you
right.
usually.
I have lots of questions.
When you have one drink, what usually is it? Is it a beer, a glass of wine, or a cocktail?
I usually order what kind of the rest of the group orders. So if I'm out with colleagues from work and we're doing dinner with wine and they all order red wine, then I usually do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of sip on the red wine. Or if it's Friday night and we go to a Mexican place, I'll get a margarita. Or if it's a wedding, champagne, and I just sip on the champagne and do the champagne toast.
So you'll get a margarita at the beginning of the night and then just nurse that thing, and when they come back around, like, no, I'm good, and then nobody questions
yeah,
it because they saw you drink it, so you're cool.
Stall a little bit, you know, like, oh, let me try to figure it out. I'll come back to me so that then I can hear the other order.
That's funny.
So what are the questions you have that you want to run by us as far as being drunk goes?
To the alcohol
oh
experts
God.
Of the room.
And we just had it. At what point did you decide that we would be the ones who best were able to answer that? Was it something that Wendy said or something that Burt said?
You know, I think it's just listening to you guys and how
yep.
much fun you have in the Monday morning stories.
Mm-hmm.
I thought funny. That, you know... You could be a good authority on
yeah.
the
subject. Yeah,
that's,
it's like looking
cool.
in the mirror. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I'm a father of two. I'm backing out of this conversation.
Oh, well, she needs
what
to have her.
What time did you go to bed last night?
1 o'clock. But that doesn't mean I was drinking the whole time.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you don't go out
without
drinking the whole time.
What time did you set your last cocktail down?
12:59.
This conversation is not about me.
She needs to
okay, hold on. Let's just play this out. Wendy, what time did you get in last night?
Same time.
There you go. So she fit the right place to call.
Let's put the focus back on Carolyn.
It's possible. You all have to get up so early. You maintain your awesome job and you manage to have fun too.
Well, you definitely need McDonald's on standby for carb loading afterwards.
Or Chick-fil-A.
And a Tylenol.
Was that one of your questions on what to eat before and after or what?
Ooh, so, yeah, I mean, definitely. Okay, so first of all, let's talk about how much should I drink?
A lot.
One drink an hour.
Two drinks an hour. I love how anal retentive she is about it.
I know, right?
She's going to be like, timing it, checking her watch.
Oh, honey, a pie chart.
After a while, she'll lose track of time, so she won't have to be as anal retentive.
It all depends on what your intention is. I mean, is your intention to keep, like, steady buzz? Is it to, like, go over the top and really, like, experience and embrace this and feel bad the next day?
Do you want to throw up?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Throw up.
I don't want to throw up.
No. You're 35 years old. You shouldn't be throwing up.
But she's never done this before.
From my minimal drinking experience, I've had like a slight buzz, but I'm not sure exactly what you mean by like maintaining a steady buzz or what's the other option? What does it feel like?
Well, I mean, you can sort of feel the alcohol taking effect. You know, you've heard the word tipsy before. You just sort of feel a little lightheaded and a little fun.
Well, and you can either go like... We made this analogy yesterday for something else, but you can either sprint to the finish line or you can do the marathon. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have one or two drinks an hour, then, well, probably for you more like one an hour, then you're doing the marathon thing. But if you want to sprint to the finish line, then you're going to be taking like, you know.
Four shots an hour, one.
Shots and all that stuff. And then you'll be done in 2 hours, you know.
I think she should stay away from shots.
Yeah, no shots.
Throw up.
Yeah, that's, you need to stick to like alcohol 101, which is like Kahlua.
Yeah, so what should I drink?
What's
a good
drink? An amaretto sour.
Drink.
Yeah.
This is so difficult.
No snob.
It's difficult. Well, one, I do think that you should stay away from shots completely, even if they're offered to you if you don't want to get sick.
Don't tell anyone around you that this is your first time getting drunk, because then you're going to get all, the four horsemen.
People take great pride in the fact that they can be the first one to sort of put you over the top and make you really, really drunk. So don't tell anybody around you.
And different liquor affects different people, because there's some liquors that make people happy and some that make them mean. We were talking about this off air.
But what are the happy liquors?
Well, it's different for everybody. You're not going to know. Like, I know Patron makes me feel tall. Every time I do a shot, I grow 2-3 inches.
That's funny.
And strong.
I was about 6 foot when I left the W last night. you just don't know these things.
And recipe for a 35-year-old female?
It's got to be like the most basic drinks of all. It's like those.
Like vodka soda, vodka cranberry.
Even that's too much, don't you think?
Should I do liquor or wine or beer?
I would.
Oh, I don't think beer.
I would do.
Beer is going to make you full and you're going to have to pee a whole lot.
You'll feel bloated. Yeah. Beer, no.
I'm going with either white wine.
That'll get you a quick buzz.
Here's the problem with the white wine. It has to be a really good... Headache. By the way, this is a pathetically awesome conversation.
I was just thinking about how pathetic this all is.
But it's awesome.
You all talk about drinking all day. Embrace it.
I'm an alcoholic. Brett's an alcoholic. I mean...
How dare you?
Seriously.
So...
Save that too.
So I think that... If you went with the problem with the white wine is you got to go high end or else you're going to end up feeling like there's a bus parked on your face the next day. Mm-hmm. And that could get expensive. If you go with a quality vodka and have them mix it light. So you're getting, you know, so you would do like a vodka.
Tonic with a splash of cranberry.
Yes.
And
something,
some lime.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And what about like mojitos with rum?
Sugar.
A good one.
Sugar though, bust on the face.
Cranberry mojitos are a good girly intro drink.
Good morning, Trina. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hello. Good morning. I just wanted to say that if she's never gotten drunk before, she's gonna feel really miserable tomorrow. And to help make herself feel better, she should drink plenty of water the next day. Mm-hmm. to dilute the alcohol and eat some bread to help soak it up and make sure she eats before does all that drinking.
Yeah. I like to eat before I go to sleep. I know it goes against every health thing that you hear, but as far as like trying to keep a hangover at bay, for me, drinking water, like a whole bunch of water and food right before I go to sleep seems to help.
She needs to eat before she goes out.
Mm-hmm,
you need to eat before you go out. And I mean, you could even kind of drink some water in between your drinks too, you know, if you want to just kind of be sure, because the alcohol.
I don't want to pretend a sick feeling, please. Oh, gosh.
You don't want the water
between the drinks, because water speeds it up in your bloodstream. That's why they say don't drink water when you're drinking.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, don't drink water.
Vicky says we're concentrating we're focusing on the wrong thing here. Hey, Vicky, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Yes, hello. Don't do it. This guy's a jerk. You will regret it. You will be sick.
What guy?
The guy that got in her head about it.
Yeah, don't do it.
So you're saying don't drink at all because this guy's just not on the up and up?
But she isn't.
No, he's not on the up and up. I did it one time. Don't do it. Don't do it. You'll be sick and you'll be hating yourself for the next week.
You've only been drunk one time?
I got drunk about 5 years ago. I hadn't had a drink in about 8 years, and I went out and got drunk for my birthday, and I was sick for 2 days straight afterwards. The only thing I could hold down was saltines and ginger ale.
Yeah, and you have to understand this too here, Caroline, that at 35 years old, your hangover is going to be way worse than you'd feel the next day if you were 21 or 22.
Yeah. Oh, no.
My guess is when we're talking to you again on Monday morning that this is going to be a one-shot deal. It's like you're going to do your thing this weekend, and it's going to feel so bad and throw you off for like 48 hours that this is probably it.
My advice is just to drink. I suggest vodka. I suggest vodka drinks and sip on them and just see how it goes throughout the night. Don't time yourself on a drink an hour or anything like that. Just go with what your body's telling you and stop whenever you feel comfortable.
Water in between. I liked that suggestion you made.
But when you get off, don't drink the water in between.
Don't drink.
I think you got to sip on it a little bit in between.
For her, I think,
I think it's a different story.
Yeah, I think
she's 35.
Just play it by ear.
She's old.
You know, just see how you feel. Don't feel the need to get obliterated if you don't feel comfortable doing that.
I would take, if you have time before work, I would call the fish also.
That's their advice.
And get some advice.
Red wine is what they're going to say.
The Burt Show.
It is intern Michelle.
I am your doctor.
No, it is not. It is intern Natalie.
Wow.
I know Michelle is in her car right now going, am I supposed to be in there?
Wait, what?
Natalie's right here going, I'm not Michelle.
She's like, what the hell?
She's like, I know I'm quiet and all, but not that quiet. How are you?
She was fine until...
And now her mic's not on.
Is that the equivalent of like a family who has six kids where they're like... Erica, please, Julie,
one of you,
you
come
get
here.
Over here. Yeah. And especially considering we're talking about sibling rivalry now.
Oh,
it's really
great,
a good way to
topic.
Get into it, Bert.
Yeah, what's going on with the relationship with your sister now? Is it strained normally, or is this just a phase? Or
no, I guess it's the fact that we have a big age difference. I mean, she basically could be my daughter. And
really?
I don't know if it's the fact that, you know, my parents gave up, but, you know, they are not, actually it's my dad. He's not as strict with my sister as he was with, you know, me and my brother.
It's driving you crazy.
So what is the age difference?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
What is it?
Like, that's going to show my age. It's 20 years.
20 years.
So how old is she now?
You talk about an oops baby.
I know, right? She's 12.
Okay.
She'll be 13 next month.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were like 24 years old.
We'll go with that, too.
I see.
That's what I thought.
Now, you should brag about that age because you do look much younger.
How old are your parents now?
My dad just turned 58 on Friday, and my mom is 56.
Is he just tired?
That's what I think it is.
Maybe.
He just gave up. But actually, a couple of years ago, before she was born, he was like, you know, if I had a chance to do it over again, I'll do it differently. Because I know I was strict with you guys. You know, I was hard on you guys. But, you know, I think we came up pretty good. I mean, he was. I remember one time I was on a date and I had to be in by 11. 11:03, he came looking for me.
Oh, he was strict.
That was the scariest thing. I think that was like my last date with that guy.
I'm sure.
So, yeah.
And the rules are different for your sister?
What rules?
No.
there are no rules.
Really?
I don't even know how
to
describe it.
Does she have a curfew?
Well, she's 13, so she doesn't go out.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Sorry.
But, you know, well, with nowadays, the internet. You never know. With the internet, she's on the internet all the time. Mm-hmm. Not like we had it back in the day, but it's like you can't be on the phone past a certain hour. She's walking around with both phones, you know, the house phone and the cell phone. She's mm-hmm. on the internet.
Does she talk back and stuff? Do you see it resulting in her behavior?
She talks back. I didn't want to bring that up, but yeah, she talks back. Wow.
Drives you nuts.
Back in the day.
If I didn't want to bring it up, but as long as you did, oh my God, does she talk back.
Really?
I mean, we didn't even think about stuff like that. My dad looked at us hard, and, you know, that was the end of it.
Right. All you have to do is raise that eyebrow.
Right.
And then you're in line.
And she's like, you know, I don't want to go. I was like, chick, you have no choice. She's just like, you get in the car and we're leaving. And she's like, well, why can't I stay at home? And why can't I do this? And
well, she's 13, too.
Yeah. I mean, she was like, man, she's smacking her lips and slamming doors. I'm like, who is this?
And what about the way she's dressing?
She wants to wear, yeah.
Is he less strict on her on the what she can wear?
Well, my brother, he helps on that department, too. She's like wearing skinny jeans. I'm like, you can't wear skinny jeans. And why is that top so low? We need to change the top. And so, she's like, well, you know, so-and-so bought it for me. No.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Why does it matter to you the way your dad is raising her?
Because I don't think she's going to, I hate to say it, I don't think she's going to turn out as well. You know, at this age, she's already doing this.
Mm-hmm.
She's getting in trouble at school, you know, talking back to teachers. You know, I don't want my sister, you know, being out in left field.
Right. Are her grades failing?
No.
No, her grades are still good.
Her grades are fine. And that's another thing. It's like she's so smart. She'll get done faster and she'll start talking. Like, okay, we need to give the kids something else to do.
Mm-hmm.
So her grades are fine. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, she'll talk back or, you know, her and her friends are getting trouble in the back and she'll be the only one gets called out on it.
Are you jealous of the leeway that he's giving your sister, or are you genuinely concerned about how she's going to end up
concerned.
As an adult?
It's not jealousy. I mean, some of the things, like she got a laptop before I did. I'm like, I can't even afford a laptop. I just got one, and she had one like 2 years ago. Like that. But as far as her attitude, yeah, I am concerned.
It's kind of unfair. Like, I have a sister. I mean, when they get more privileges or they get stuff that you didn't have, I mean, it's still unfair, and you still, like, yeah, there is a sense of jealousy because, I mean, like, why couldn't I stay out later just because I'm older and now she's younger and growing up differently? It's not fair.
You know, the way she deals with my parents, it's like, those are my parents. I will always have respect for my parents.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for her to talk back like that, it's like, who is this kid? This is not the way me and my brother were raised at all.
Mm-hmm. How does he feel about it? Does he get as upset as you do?
We get into arguments about this, me and my dad.
Really?
Mm-hmm. One time, you know, she was talking back to my mom and I'm like, okay, you don't do that. So I'm like, I'm not taking you and your friends to Six Flags. That's just it.
So you're almost becoming the mom.
Wow.
Pretty much.
The sister's the mom.
Exactly.
Carl just sent me an instant message and said that for $300 a week, he'll take her in.
I have $300. I will write you a check. What's his last name?
What were you going to say, Michelle? I'm Melissa.
You're having a hard time with everybody in the room. Well, my sister's 10 years older than I am, so it's natural that she's going to be the mom. You can't be tight sisters after a certain age difference. You just can't. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
You didn't grow up together. You don't have the same friend group. You don't have the same experiences.
And she brings that up a lot. She's like, you're supposed to be my sister. I was like, sweetie, I'm 20 years older than you. I could be your mom. Mm-hmm. And when I go to pick her up at school, people are like, you know, Naya, your mom's here. No, her
I
mom
do
is
think
not.
I do think though, like I'm trying to think from the younger sibling standpoint, because I agree that, I mean, her talking back is wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times too, the older sibling becomes opposite of what the parents are if there's that age difference. Like my parents were, I mean, my sister would still complain because I was an oops baby, not as far back as your sister. But I mean, in my sister, I'm sure would have complaints about how my parents were more relaxed with me because they were old and tired. I mean, that's exactly right. But also, I think, though, she tried to be the cool sister if they were strict on me. It's like opposite. So you've become the strict, you know, mentor as your parents are being, you know, kind of lax. But I do think, I do warn about the relationship between you and her if you become too strict on her.
Yeah.
Because in the future, because one thing about older siblings that you never let that go. Like one thing that irritates the hell out of me now, I am in my late 30s and my sister will still tell me what to do or make suggestions. I'm like, I'm almost 40 years old and you are still
but,
on
you know,
my
I try to
case.
Do things with her, but you know, she doesn't, she gets so many things for free. She takes it for granted. Like I said, I was trying to
take her. She doesn't
know.
She just thinks things are supposed to be
things
given.
Things are coming to free. You know, we used to go to Six Flags maybe once every 3 years. She's been 3 times this year already. That to me
sounds like jealousy. That doesn't sound to me like I'm concerned about her attitude.
Well, when she was talking back to my mom, I was telling her, you know, we're not going to Six Flags. You know, you've been twice already. You've been disrespectful. You don't need to go. You don't deserve to go. And my dad was like, well, you've already promised her and her friends are already excited, so you need to take them. I'm like, she's just yelling at your wife. Are you kidding me? So
here's Eric. Good morning, Eric. You're on Q100.
Oh, wow. For real?
Yeah, why not?
Hey.
you did call, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I did. This is my first time being on here. I just wanted to say I'm the younger sibling, but...
I hate you.
I'm like in charge of everything.
Oh, so you're the opposite.
Yes. So when I heard you say that, I was like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like the younger guy.
This is the Melissa theory of consistency. It doesn't matter if you're the younger or you're the older. Your parents have to be consistent.
I think the parents have to be consistent, but I also think siblings naturally try to be opposite of each other. Like, as the younger sibling, like, I'd feel bad for older siblings because the oldest one is the one that the parents had to cut their teeth on them. But the younger siblings get to watch all that, and they want to have their own path because what you don't know that your sister's getting is, why can't you be more like Natalie? Why can't you be more like Natalie? Why can't you be more like Natalie? Where I was, well, if you do that, you're just going to be just like Melanie, or it's going to turn out just like it did for Melanie. Da, 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 da. And it's like, you know what? The younger siblings have a hard time gaining their own independence. So the back talking and the attitude sometimes is a reflection of the fact, I'm tired of everybody telling me what to be like. I want to be myself.
Because it is like she has five parents instead of, you know, two brothers and a sister and a parent.
It's cumbersome.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete, good morning. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hey, how you doing? Good.
Good. How are you?
Good. Listen, I'm an only child, so I didn't have that problem. But I'm glad I was an only child, because I think if I would have that and my brother or sister disrespected my mother that way, I'd have to break your neck. I mean, honestly, really. I think what you should do is take your sister out for a ride. You go to a deserted baseball field, and you tell her, oh, no, we're not going to play baseball. Here's a jar of Vaseline. Put it on your face, because I'm about to wax you up and down this damn park for about a half hour.
I'm glad you're an only child, too, to be honest with you.
Wow.
That's scary.
Pete might want to find some therapy.
Yeah. Do you and your sister ever have time bonding time at ever?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's usually when it's just the two of you, right?
It is. Mm-hmm. Usually, when I go over to the house, you know, I tell her, you know, I'm going to spend, you know, 30 minutes with my parents. I want to talk to them. I haven't seen them, you know, like 2 weeks. And then it's going to be me and your time. Mm-hmm. And we'll watch, you know, Raven and whatever. And we'll talk about whatever's going on in school and if she's gotten in trouble that week. Yeah, we do have bonding time. So that's why I don't understand. It's like, I try to give to you. I try to do nice things for you. But it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's like, you want attention all the time.
Hey, PJ.
Hey.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree with her. My sister is 6 years older than I am. And, you know, when I was younger, it was, why can't you be like your sister? My sister, she graduated from high school with a 4-year scholarship, and she ended up having 3 kids, you know, and her life didn't go real well. Well, I was able to venture off, and I went and visited California, this, that, and the other, and she stayed in a small town with her husband, who she's married to now. And unfortunately, I changed my life around, and now she just got out of jail.
Really?
You know? And, well, she never had anything, you know what I mean? And I totally understand where she's coming from, because my dad always gave to me, he bought me big cars, you know, and this, that, and the other, when my sister didn't have anything. And I think a lot of the reason why she got into trouble is because she didn't have any.
And I think that a lot of it is a reflection of what your father said to you and your brother. Like, I think with my parents, I've heard my mother say before that any time that my sister has any insecurity about something, my mother still blames herself for it, because she said, you know what, she's the oldest. I didn't know what I was doing. I was stressed out all the time. Mm-hmm. My mother has said that in her 70s about my sister.
Wow.
So,
make all the mistakes on the first one.
Yeah. And then I'm sure she's told Melanie with me, well, you know, I mean, and had similar concerns. So right. I think with you, I think that it's a reflection of your parents thinking they were too strict on you, so they're gone. The pendulum has swung opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you and your sister have a different relationship, and just try to preserve that so that when she's older, stop being her mom.
Sam, we got about 30 seconds here, man.
Hi, I'm a girl.
Okay.
okay. I'm a younger sister, and my sister, like, she gets mad because I get to do more things than my mom let her do. But my sister never wanted to do anything. So when my sister asked my mom, why did she get to do it? Well, Savannah, you never wanted to do any of this. You never wanted to go out. My sister didn't like...
This never goes away.
It doesn't.
It never, ever goes away.
No, and yeah, my sister and my relationship is fluid. I mean, there's one... We can't talk one time, one day, but then we talk all the time the next. The one thing about us, though, is regardless of how we're getting along, we will always turn to each other in the worst case scenarios. Mm-hmm. The worst points in her life, I'm the first one she called, vice versa.
And she does that, too. She calls me, you know, if I'm in trouble. It's like, can you talk to Dad for me?
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
The Burt Show.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Rachel is having a problem with some of her friends. They planned a family vacation together.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I think we got a money situation going on here, too, where you got like deposit money, and then you find out late that the other family's going to bail, and you're stuck with the cash.
Oh, you can't commit and then
back out.
At some point, there's got to be a point of no return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you have to give your cash entirely to the family.
But we have to find out if Rachel was pushy vacation planner person.
True.
All right, so we'll try.
What she should do is she should just completely forget that she ever planned on the vacation.
She's not even listening to you.
Sorry.
I don't think. Were we supposed to use
entertaining each other?
We're having our little twin language over here.
Tain and win. So, were we supposed to use a fake name for her and she panicked and is gone?
I don't know. It said Rachel on my screen, so that's the one.
She panicked.
There she is. Let's try her again. Hey, Rachel.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good.
Fantastic.
All right. So you guys had this vacation planned, right?
Yes. We've had this vacation planned for about three, four months.
Okay.
And we had, the first deposit was due immediately, and that was, you know, it was only like a third of it, right? So everybody paid their money except one girlfriend, and I told her I would just cover her for this time, for the first deposit, but when it came time for the second deposit, that I would need her money. And just to give you a quick background on her, she's just trying to get all of her life together, and she moved a little bit further north out of Atlanta to kind of be away from the whole Atlanta scene because she was just getting into too much trouble and not having a steady job. So she's working, she's got, and she's in school nonetheless. So the way it worked out was the deposit was due last week, and literally 2 days before the deposit was due, she called me and said, well, actually she emailed all of us and said, sorry guys, I can't make it. It's really for my career, because she's been offered a promotion at her current job.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, this is a wacky situation, but unfortunately they had to do some kind of credit check on her, and the one credit card that she never paid is the store that she's working at. So she has to pay.
That's funny.
Isn't that funny? Like, it's ironic that it would be that same store, because she, but anyway, so that she has to, she said that all of her money has to go to that first before she can go and party on the, you know, we're going to the beach, which I completely understand. And I feel bad for her, because I think she's making a big sacrifice to do this. But in the meantime, all of us had to come up with, you know, $150, because we're all, you know, having to pay that final deposit.
So she paid the first deposit.
No, she didn't.
She did not pay the first deposit.
She borrowed the first deposit, and then.
Well, did she ask to borrow that money?
Or did you offer and say, come on, you got to come, I'll cover this?
Not quite like that. We had all decided as a group we were going to do it. And then she said, when it was time for the first deposit, she said, I really don't have the money right now. And I was like, you know what, it's okay. I'll get it as long as you give me the full amount when the final deposit was due.
Well, that could have been her way of saying she can't go. And I understand that.
I wish she had said that. I wish she had said, you know what, I just can't make it. Or maybe there's a possibility I'm not going to be able to come up with the money, so that we would have planned on it. Because now we have all budgeted around the amount that we had to pay for. I mean, all of us don't make a lot of money. I have kids and, you know, so forth. So it just kind of was frustrating, because I understand where she's coming from, and I give her huge props for actually making that sacrifice. But at the same time, it put us in a bad situation. And the way she wrote the email, too, was more so, well, you know, sorry, guys, I'm really bummed I can't go. Instead of saying, I'm so sorry you guys are going to have to, you know, fork out some more money, and I'm so sorry, it just kind of changes. It changes the dynamics. There's two of us that are going that are two married couples with kids, and then one girl, and this was going to be another single girl.
Have you had, have you had some coffee this morning?
I think we got it. There's just a whole bunch of details to cover.
Yeah, there's a there's part of me that thinks it's a little bit on you for offering to cover, because I think... Because there's two sides to every story. I do think it's embarrassing for anybody to say they don't have enough money for blank, regardless. Everybody, yes, budgets. You know, Katie and I have this trip planned with a bunch of friends, and there's some that have backed out. In our mind, we're thinking, did they back out because they can't afford it, or did they back out because they really don't want to go? Because we're trying to figure out how to approach and say, we want you to be there. Same scenario, because nobody wants to admit they're broke. And so I think that by you... paying that first deposit when she told you she didn't have the money, I just, for some reason, I think the responsibility is on your shoulders, that you should have just not expected her to be, all of a sudden be able to, a couple months later, have the money.
How much would it cost if all of you guys pitched in to cover her? How much would it cost each?
It costs $50 per person.
To cover her?
To cover her. Well, actually, you know what? I didn't even include the first deposit. That's just for the second deposit. But that's for everybody. So it ends up for me and my husband to go. It's gonna it costs us an extra $100.
Okay.
Can you guys get somebody to fill in for her?
That's the other issue. We talked about that, but really not really, because it's just the dynamics of the group. I mean, we're a really tight knit group. You know, it's two couples with our kids that are the same age, and then it's one of the couple's sister who's coming with us, and then this was another good friend. We were all kind of like a family group. So no, there really isn't anybody, and they would have to share a room.
I think she didn't have the money. She's too embarrassed to tell you. I think there was pressure to go, and then now she can't go, and so you're going to make her feel bad because she's broke, and that's one of the reasons she wanted to tell you in the first place.
Here's Devin. Good morning, Devin. You're on Q100.
Hi, guys. It's been a while.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, we missed you.
I was supposed to go on a trip this past weekend and couldn't go because of work, but I still paid my portion of it. I feel that she should still have to pay if she's backing out last minute.
It all depends on the texture of the way that she was invited, you know, and we just don't know that. And you're the only one that knows that, Rachel, is like, were you guys so eager to have her part of this whole thing that you really didn't hear the message that she was sending you? Like, she could have been really saying loud and clear that she couldn't go without saying loud and clear that she couldn't go.
No, she was going. She was full on. We were all planning on going. I mean, she's wrote all over Facebook, oh, we can't wait. We got three weeks. We kind of did the countdown. You know, I mean, we've been talking about it, and then this kind of came up because of her. It's really because of her job. I mean, I probably would have let her pay me, like, over the next month or so if it wasn't for the job situation. But because she's having to pay for her job, which, again, I give her props for, but it just kind of put us in a bad situation.
Well, if you continue to press her on paying for this trip, you know the friendship is over, right? I mean, is it really worth $100?
Oh, no. Yeah, and I'm not pressuring her. My question is really more so on, you know, I wasn't really necessarily asking her to fork over the money. We did. We came up with the money and paid the deposit. She's just not going with us. But it was just a disappointment. This is a long time. This is like my longest best friend.
So are you wondering if you should
afford it?
If you're wondering if you should break up with her or continue to support her through the financial stresses?
I think you're doing the right thing. I think you paid for it. I think you let it go, and you know. This stuff tends to come around eventually.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think a group of friends, a tight-knit group of friends, I mean, when you first start out, let's say in college or wherever you met, or starting out at work and you're all broke at the same time, it's one thing. But as you grow and you grow older, your lives are not parallel. So you can't treat it as if you're parallel. You're still tight, but somebody's going to be richer than the other, and somebody's going to be have a family and one's not, and somebody's going to go through a divorce and the other's not. So you have to adapt to that instead of blaming her for not being in the same situation as you.
Right.
Yep. I think you got it covered at this point.
Yep. Well, thank you guys.
All right, Rachel, thanks for coming on with us.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Should cover that first deposit.
That was open close.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty easy.
Wow, she really funky, isn't she?
I can't believe her friend doesn't want to go on vacation with her.
The Burt Show.
Good morning, Joe Jonas.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Doing pretty good.
I want to be totally honest with you. I have had to pee for like 10 minutes, and I was hoping you were going to be late so I could run to the bathroom before you called. And you've messed everything up for me this morning.
You've never had that introduction
before. You should have woken up a little bit early.
I tried getting out of here. Sometimes you just forget to pee, though.
Does that ever happen to you on stage?
I've had a problem on stage.
You have.
Have you? Like, you want to pee right before you get out on stage, and then you realize...
I've had to go, like, while I was on stage. I'd have to shoot my brothers a look, and they'd get it, and I would have to just run off stage for a few seconds and come back.
Do you dance off? Like, do you do the whole, I'm really into the song, and I'm dancing off? And
so you're hopping cross-legged?
Yeah.
No, I just run.
Is that something that you're aware of as you walk on stage, like where the nearest restroom is?
You always have to be aware of where the nearest restroom is, or where the stash of water bottles are, or, regular... Regular normal things.
Because can you imagine if you're walking off stage and just at the same, running off stage because you got, 45 seconds to go, and just as you see your, road manager shutting the door with a newspaper tucked under his arm, you're like, no!
Yeah, well, the good thing is we play a lot of venues where there's like, it's just like a hockey arena or something.
Yeah.
So, like, there's just always, there's just hallways of like, little holes of dressing rooms that have bathrooms. So it's the funniest thing. It was a couple of weeks ago, we had a concert, and I'm running backstage, and my mom's in the dressing room, and I'm running by her. My mom's face was like, wait, what are you doing? Why are you going on stage?
You have actually literally had to pee into a bottle on the side of a stage before?
Not that's something that I've yet to do.
Okay.
Because guess what Bert's doing right now?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, if I check out for a couple of minutes, you know why. It's Joe Jonas on the Bert Show this morning on Q100.
Joe, you have been famous for a while now, and you've had some famous relationships. I'm just wondering if you have any regrets in those relationships.
Nope.
Zero.
That's an awesome answer. No.
Nope. Not at all.
Look, there was the whole weird Taylor Swift thing for a while there, but I'm assuming that everything's cool.
Yeah, everything's cool, and that's not what we're going to talk about today. I think we're going to talk about clothing or music or touring. It's all us, We work hard at trying to make it the best it can be.
Hey, Joe, I want to ask you a tough question that's not a personal question. It's a professional question, but it's one that's hit the internet. And that's that you guys were collaborating with Chris Brown on writing some materials together. A, is there any truth to that? And B, have you guys sort of backed off of that since the whole thing has been going on?
We have not worked with him, no.
This is just a rumor on the internet, and there has been no truth to you guys collaborating together?
There's always rumors, and you kind of have to just step back we've seen some really ridiculous rumors where, like, we were in Europe at one point, and Kevin was, somebody told Kevin, like, so, Kevin, you're leaving the band, right? We're like, what? We're like, yeah, apparently you're going to be leaving the band. We're like, no, unless Kevin wants to tell us something, but, so we always hear, tons of rumors, and you kind of just have to get used to it and laugh it off.
Has there ever been a situation where one of your brothers has had to come to you after reading something about you in a tabloid and go and just to give you a heads up and say, hey, I want to let you know what's coming down, or vice versa, where you've read something about one of your guys and you've had to go to the guys and be like, hey, and where they may have actually thought there might have been a nugget of truth in it?
I think it definitely you can just know what's right and what's, my brothers and I, we're really close and we're really tight it's no joke when I tell you that, we're each other's best friends. Like, even on off stage, we're still hanging out and having a good time together. And thank you guys. Have a good day.
You too. Talk to you later.